Known for its amazing contributions, and we've got Melanie Mays with us today to talk about this new season for the Artist Series and the best basketball coach in the world, in our opinion. That's Sue Semerow. She's going to be with us in the second hour, so you don't want to miss this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
We're here and ready and excited to have you on board, my friend, because with Sue Semerow here in studio with us and the remarkably talented Melanie Mays, what a powerhouse show we have for you. What occurs to me, I suppose, is that you have these two women who, in their own right and in their own realm, have found a way to win. How is it that we take what we have, work with the opportunities that are afforded us, even the skills and talents we may possess, and turn that all into a winning solution on behalf of those who we are serving? And you have in these two people, Melanie Mays, Sue Semerow, some very talented, some very winning people, but who are at the same time, I would say, unfettered. They are determined. They are willing to do what is necessary to find within the people around them and within themselves the means to achieve this remarkable end. And they've both done so. The Artist Series, for its history, it's one of those organizations, personally, I find especially inspiring, because these are people who, in the words of John Houseman, do it for the love of it. They really are a group of people who come from various backgrounds, and that is to say the organization itself. Melanie Mays is their executive director. But you look at their board, and you look at the people over the years who have thought, you know, this is a really good idea. Whether or not we are funded, certainly well-funded, whatever we have to do, if we don't have all of the resources we'd like, we're still going to pursue this, and my goodness, what they have done. And they've got this now 22-23 season about ready to launch. Once again, they are outdoing themselves. And so we're going to talk with Melanie at length about the backstage, the behind-the-scenes experiences, and what it is. Tales. You know, what do they have to do to make this work? Because they are bringing to you and I world-class chamber music. And if you need to Google that, do so. But chamber music essentially refers to high-level performances from people who are capable of interpreting and demonstrating the works of masters in music and bring that level of performance to a smaller setting. And so they perform over there at Opperman, which is exactly the place that you would want for chamber music. It is, as it implies, intended for a smaller, more intimate setting among people who are devotees, people who are entirely appreciative of the kind of musical talent and sensitivity that these artists bring us. So we'll get into the details of that with Melanie here shortly. And I won't spend too much more time now talking about Sue Semrau, because we're going to have the whole hour with her in the second hour today, so you don't want to miss that. And we'll talk a little bit about what life has been like since Coach has hung up her basketball shoes. Is that Carl? Is that right? They wear, yeah. Whatever. What do coaches wear? Some of them wear high heels. I've noticed that. Some of the women. Well, I don't know if that's Sue or not. Maybe it is. We'll find out. In any case, she's not out there courtside. And it's, I'm sure for her, have been, you know, a big adjustment. 35 years. She spent building championship-level teams, winning teams through adversities of various kinds, and we'll get into some of that too. That's all about Sue Semrau. Announcements for you. Winter Festival is coming once again as the season begins to open up for us, the annual Winter Festival that Tallahassee is known for. I have the pleasure of telling you that back in the day, when the Winter Festival was initiated, the very first, forgive me, I can't tell you what year that was. Sometime I was younger then. Not any smarter or more stupid than I am now, so I suppose that's a given. But I had opportunity to represent Jones Tractor Company. Some of you may remember Earl Jones and his brothers, and they were the John Deere dealer for Tallahassee for a long time. Well, anyway, so Earl Jones and I, we were doing things to promote his business, and I had just started the ad agency then, and here came the Winter Festival Parade. Yeah, right. Del Suggs, Steve Meisner, they were the architects for this thing. They pushed it and got it done. And incidentally, insisted that music talent, artists, performers be paid. What? Pay these people? Yeah, well, they insisted upon it, and they got that done. And from that juncture, we have this wonderful Winter Festival every year now. Since then. Back to my story with Earl Jones. We got a John Deere combine. Because, yeah, they dealt in the big green as well as the consumer level, you know. We slathered that thing with little white lights and had it rolling down the street, down Monroe Street. Every little kid on the block, up and down that parade route, fixated on this massive machine that went curb to curb in a blaze of glory. Man, I think we spent a day and a half getting those lights on that machine. That's my recollection, one of many, actually, for the Tallahassee Winter Festival. You need to know, by the way, more importantly, that it's coming up Saturday, December 3rd. So that means if you want to be a vendor with your food booth or whatever, You got to get your app in by September 30. Entertainment deadline, if you want to be one of those folks, October 1. And if you're going to be in the parade, you got to get your application in by October 14. So I'm giving you fair warning here. If you need to talk to somebody, you can call 850-891-3866. 891-3866. If you want to go online, go to talgov.com/winter festival. And I'm sure there you'll find the documents you need to be a part of this fabulous annual event, Winter Festival in Tallahassee. Folks, stay with me. I've got Melanie Mays.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The artist series began in 1995. Now, these 28 years later, it has continued to wow and amaze appreciative audiences from around the region, from around the country, as they bring to Opperman Music Hall artists from around the world. It is a remarkable organization in as much as you could ask any one of the board members, any of the people who have been involved in this organization over its history. And one thing comes through very clearly. They do it for the love of it. And it is not because any of them are somehow, you know, looking for more fame and status. They don't need that. But they do have a devotion to chamber music, and they have a devotion to Tallahassee. It began with a guy named Waldy Anderson and his wife Carolyn, along with Ginny Densmore. They thought then, back in 95, this would be a good thing to do. And they gathered that kind of momentum that it takes to sustain this kind of work. It happens that Melanie Mays caught that same vision when she committed to be their executive director, and she is our guest today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Yes.
Life has been different.
Yes.
In the since we've last spoken. Yes. And in that, we can just say with a sort of summation, OMG, 2021, 2020, I mean, it's all a blur for a lot of us, I think.
Yeah.
But in the interim, we found ourselves, I don't know, a lot of us sort of sitting back, twiddling our thumbs, figuring out what to do next, working from home, or not doing a lot of the things that we had been doing, including you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the classes that you have now begun offering
again.
And tell us about that.
Well, that's different than the artist series.
Well,
that's,
I understand.
That's my other, my side
gig, I
guess.
Because I don't really care about the artist series, Melanie.
There you go.
I just want to talk about you.
Oh, me.
That's all about
boy.
You. This is your time.
All right. Well, I also am the director, founding director and director of Monticello Acting and Dance Company.
Uh-huh.
And we have a studio
called Madco Studio.
Yeah. Yeah. And that essentially had to close down during the pandemic.
No doubt.
I also had a yarn shop next door to that, and that definitely went out of business completely.
Wow.
So for a long time, all the yarn was stuffed into my dance studio, but nobody was coming in to dance anyway. We couldn't do it, couldn't have classes. And then I do admit that probably, you know, then it was up and down, because should you be teaching kids? Should you be in the same room with them? It was just hard to know. And it was before, you know, all the vaccinations came out.
Sure.
But once the vaccinations came out, I felt better about it. I never stopped doing theater, though. We actually, Madco, did a children's show July 2020 in the heat, outside, in a field in July. It was postponed a little bit. Usually we do it in
Jefferson
June.
County, of all
In Jefferson County, in a field that was donated to us, and we put a stage up. The kids and I and all of our parents that were involved and our tech people, we wore face shields. And this is before vaccinations. We really didn't know if we were doing the right thing, but I only used 19 kids, one adult and 18 kids, I should say. So it was a much smaller cast than normal. And we were very careful about, you know, practicing outside and contact and having space. So we continued. We did the one show in 2020, which was fine. And then we kind of took the rest of the year off mostly, but started again in 2021 because the Opera House had shows and their directors kept backing out. So I actually did three unscheduled shows during 2021 that I didn't know I was going to do. And one of them was The Altos, Like the Sopranos, but lower, a murder mystery dinner theater.
I remember
and,
that one.
Yeah, and then I took on Disaster the Musical, and then somebody else canceled at Christmas, so I did Holly Jolly Christmas. I did a Christmas review.
I remember that too.
Plus the kids show. So that was a big year on top of what I do for the artist series. So there was just a lot going on, and because of that, because I didn't really have space with all my yarn in the dance studio, I cleared it off just enough that we could have rehearsals in there. So, you know, that was fine. And I we did actually rehearse the kids' show there this summer, the zombie show. We did Zombies the Musical. So we had enough room to have a smaller group of kids, like 20-some kids, I think, and maybe 25, I think. And we did Zombies the Musical. So we've continued to do things. And I, you know, in my yarn shop is, for example, it's online. You can still buy yarn from me. It's just online. So, you know, we continued. People continued to donate to us, to help us. We continued to write grants. So we really never stopped. We just did it differently. All my piano lessons and voice lessons went online. But now all that's changed, and we actually are in a new location. So we moved. The building was purchased by someone else. And he, you know, very graciously decided to double our rent, you know, after really not having people, you know, for 2 years.
Not an uncommon tale.
It's just happened a lot in Jefferson County. There's some out-of-town folks coming in and buying
Leon
buildings.
And then Gadsden.
Yeah, it's just been really tough. So, you know, I guess it hasn't affected some people as much as it has those of us in the arts. But anyway, so very graciously, Jack Carswell, I'm giving him a shout-out. Jack Carswell has a building, several buildings in Monticello, but he let me go into one of them. So my new space is in Gadsden. Square Properties, I think it's called Gadsden Square, and it's at 185 East Walnut. So I'm not that far from where my other studio was. I'm by Rev Cafe, so it's a nice space.
It's
so
convenient. So that is now housing all that you're doing.
All that I'm doing.
Except for actually having the yarn shop.
There. Yeah.
That's all online.
That's online. Got it. Okay. That is online. Okay. And but Madco, so my singing, my dancing, my acting, my piano lessons, my accordion lessons, my voice lessons, the Pilates, the Zumba, all of that goes on at Madco Studio, which is fabulous. And then, you know, the yarn is all online and that kind of thing. The knitting boards that I sell. And then the artist series, that's actually my office where I do the majority of my work. But the artist series is a Tallahassee organization. So I come and go between Tallahassee and Monticello. So it works well. And I do have to say during the pandemic, it wasn't that much of a difference for me because I've always sort of worked from my studio.
You're a crazy person. We've known that for a long time.
Yes, but I don't have bosses. I get to be my own boss. I don't think I always play well with others.
If I understand this correctly, you have had bosses, but they finally just said,
go away.
I can't do this. You know, they just wrote it on a napkin and said, I'm out.
That's it. They said, we surrender, go away. No, you know, actually, I've done the office gig, you know, and I had some great experiences. And I do think, though, that I really enjoy being my own person. And that doesn't mean that my board of directors doesn't say, you know, you need to do this or we would like you to do this. And then I have to accommodate that, you know, because they are a board of directors.
You and I have this in common. Yeah. When I was a little kid, and that was 100 years ago, I was an only child because my sister was 7 years older.
Ooh.
So when I was six, she was 13.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time by myself.
Yeah.
And I can just say this in summation, right? I learned how to do everything for myself, by myself. Certainly want to know what that was like for you as a kid. Were you always this self-directed, I'm going to go do this and I'll figure it out as I go along, or...
Yeah, I like to come up with my own things. And, yeah. But, I kind of credit my mom for that. She just kept me busy in the arts, singing and dancing and acting and
theater.
Did
you have siblings?
Yes. I have an older sister, 7.5 years older. So I have the same split. So it was like two different families.
You and I are both in our 60s now.
Yeah, exactly. She was in high school, and I'm just a little kid in grade school. And then I had a younger brother, 4 years younger than myself. So my brother and I feel like we were a family.
You were connected.
We were together all the time doing stuff. And
interesting.
Yeah, but my parents... parents kept us busy doing art and performing and singing and being regular kids, roller skating.
Here we are today with Melanie Mays talking about all of the many ways she brings her talents and skills to bear, including, yes, we're going to talk about it, the artist series.
Yes.
You stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, something clever, but that just didn't work. So... I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever? I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah.
Oh, baby, we're back. We're talking with Melanie Mays, and we are devoted to trying to talk about the artist series, and it's newly launched season for 22-23. We've already got one performance behind us that happened back on the 18th now, just about a week ago, right? Jordan Bach and Jihei Shang. Jihei was the only local artist that you have scheduled. Tell us about her.
Well, she's just fabulous. She's an incredibly talented pianist, and, I believe she teaches. She has a full teaching schedule, and I know she has done some teaching at Florida State University. I don't think she's on the faculty there, per se. I know her husband is. Her husband is Ben Sung. Mm. And so I kind of met her that way because I'd heard Ben play, and then I got to know her. And I had actually wanted to have Jihei play for us like around 2019. But, we don't use a lot of local artists. And it's not – it's only for the reason that – our mission, our founder, Waldy Anderson, wanted people to be exposed to music that they wouldn't normally get to hear in Tallahassee. So the idea was we bring in professionals who play nationally and internationally so that we get to hear some of the best. And, there's a lot of chances for local musicians and artists to perform. So we were different in that we brought in outside talent.
Yes.
But, she's really wonderful. And when I found out that Jordan Bach, because I was talking with his agent, when I found out that he had actually played with Jihei before, I went, oh, that's cool. Well, why don't we do that? Because
connection.
I do think there is interest in hearing someone who is a local artist. And then we, being able to team her up with
that's
Jordan.
Very cool.
And I think they're going to book some extra gigs now that they've gotten kind of back together again.
Nice.
So they'll play other places. And I think that's really nice. And she's such a lovely person. And Jordan is, the most darling person. And, you can still actually see their concert because we live stream.
That's
the live stream
right.
becomes a video. So for an entire week after the concert, you just have to buy the live stream ticket.
Right.
And then I send you the password,
right.
and that's on our website. So
the
it's very easy.
TheArtistSeries.org.
That's right. And so it's very, very easy for you to still see their concert.
That.
And it's beautifully, beautifully filmed by WFSU.
We should do that anyway, because if I purchase that season passport,
that's true.
I get not just this show, but all of the upcoming performances.
That's right. So with the season passport, you get... As you say, you can come to see the show, the concerts live,
yep.
but you also get the password to all the concerts, so you can go see it live, and then during the next week you can tune in because you've got the password. Sweet. I've sent it to you. Sweet. And you can watch it for a whole week, you know, and it's really lovely, because I know I watch it a couple of times during the week, and it's such a great experience.
You know, we have this upcoming show too, and this is with Dominique Cayley. Uh-huh. Right.
Yes,
tell us
that's
about
right.
That's on October 23rd.
Yes.
Okay.
Now Dominique, we actually booked him, poor Dominic, during 2020. But the Artist Series still had a series in 2020. We didn't give up. You know, my board of directors and I got to talking, what are we going to do? Are we going to close our doors? Are we just going to sit tight? But that would have meant no job for me, which would have been awful.
Yeah. Not cool.
Among other things. Plus,
right.
It really puts your series, you know, I mean, you have to turn down grants, and it's just not a good thing. Mm. So we decided to go ahead and do our series, and our series in 2020 was 100% online. Now, it wasn't live streamed, because I had heard people were having a great deal of difficulty with live streaming,
right.
Mainly because if you were using Facebook or YouTube, the bots, those crazy bots,
yes.
would go in and shut your concert down. Because they would say, you don't have the rights to this music. Well, of course you do. Most of it is public domain.
Right.
But if anybody else had ever recorded, say, London Symphony Orchestra had recorded it, the bot's only going to know that recording, and it's going to go, you don't have permission.
Right.
Of course you have permission. This is different. This is a different configuration than London Symphony Orchestra. And the music itself, most of it is public domain. Hmm. So anyway, we had hired Dominic, and what we did was during that entire season, we asked our artists to do their own video. So they videoed complete concerts for us, and it was so nice and so charming, and the venues were beautiful, like churches and halls, and you know, we paid them a little bit of money to help them with that, as well as paying them a fee.
Very
that
cool.
way they didn't lose their fee, they didn't lose a lot of money by having to have it filmed, and they each did the most beautiful, fantastic videos, but they were videotaped.
Nice.
It wasn't a live stream, but it was great.
Sure,
and we
sure.
continued our season. And then what we said to our passport holders was, still buy your passport, because even though the concerts are free, and in 2020 our concerts were free for everyone, but we said to our passport people, you are a sustaining donor to us. You
nice.
Know, this is a donation this year. Your passport is absolutely 100% a donation to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So it worked. It worked out.
The
you
word
know?
On the street is, we need to do this now.
Yes,
we need to go to your website.
Yes.
Let's say it again.
Yes.
All of us together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The
artistseries.org. Yes.
Love that.
It's easy.
For me, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
I have all sorts of aging issues.
There
going
you go.
On.
And you just click, there's a link on the homepage, and it says
purchase a season passport. Or
you could do that.
Right?
Yes, 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 yes. But then on the homepage, and you're looking at it right there, Brian,
yeah,
on
right.
the homepage, it says
right.
it's there's a link, and it says view something like view live. It says live stream of.
Yep. I see it. Live
yeah,
stream.
It's big. It's blue.
Yep.
And what does it say, Brian?
Bach and Chang.
Yes,
concert.
Live stream. And it says live stream.
It's a link, so it'll take me right to
it
where I want to go.
It takes you right to it. You click on that, and it takes it to you. And you can all you can takes you to it. And you can also see there's a video on it from Visit Tallahassee, which is
that.
Important.
Yeah.
You need to click on the Visit Tallahassee video and watch it. See all the wonderful things that go on in Tallahassee.
We have other concerts coming up. We're going to talk about that as well. Some unusual work, especially the Cinta. Quartet, right? They're coming.
Cinta.
That'll
mm-hmm.
that'll be after the holidays. It'll be in January.
It's January. There are artists in residence, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. We'll talk about that, what that really means. Then you've got a Valentine fundraiser concert in February. Jasper String Quartet.
Right.
Coro Vocati.
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 Mm-hmm.
Choral Ensemble.
Uh-huh.
That's in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes the last concert in the year on May 7th. With the Quartetto Latino Americano.
Yeah.
I'm working that.
Yeah, you are.
I love the fact that we have all of this diversity, not only in terms of the instrumentation, the various musical performances, I mean, choral work, the Cinta Quartet is a saxophone quartet. Which was my first instrument, by the way.
Oh, really?
Actually, no, the accordion was my first instrument.
Yeah. I play the accordion.
See,
did I know this about you? And
well,
I play saxophone.
Twins
did I know
separated
this?
At birth.
I'm telling you,
thing.
That's just weird.
But Melanie Mays is our guest, and we're talking not only about the artist series, which is our focal point, but I have to tell you, Melanie, the conversations today in today's show really have to do with people like you and like Sue, who are bringing to bear what talents and skills you possess, the energy level that you bring. And again, here you are, not in your 50s. That was what you told me, so I'm going with that. I find that hard to believe, but okay, if you say that you're beyond that, that's fine. What is remarkable to me is the determination, because you get shut down. You don't have the space. Now you're having to shuffle. Now you're having, you're getting dragged into directing these shows that you weren't planning on doing. But yet, there you go. Melanie May, she's with us for another segment, so stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
We're here together again with Melanie Mays on this final opportunity to try to figure out what is wrong with her. That's probably not worth our time. Certainly others have tried and before us. But whatever it is, Melanie, let me say, thank God that we have people around us in this community, I'll say specifically, who for your part, collectively, you just get stuff done. It is, I think it's surprising to other people around you when they look at your pattern, they look at your performance, and they go, "What in the world? How did she do that? How did she do that?" How do you answer that question?
You know, I had one of my moms that, you know, I've taught all of her kids. They've all been in theater and piano and dance and voice and everything. And she said, I've just never known anyone so driven. And I thought, maybe that's what I am. I think it's also that I can sit around and I can weep and I can cry and say, oh, there's nothing for me to do. Nobody wants me. I can't get this. I can't do that. Or I can just, you know, maybe be sad, have a little pity party for a short time, you know, maybe a day or two, and then get over it. And then make my own thing happen.
How do you account for that? Where does that come from?
I don't know. I really don't
know. Because you had a career in theater, in performance, for a while.
Yeah, I'm an equity. I'm still equity, and I'm still SAG-AFTRA. Right. So I belong to the unions,
and
I performed.
And that was in St. Louis?
Kansas City. I did perform in St. Louis because, I mean, it's just, you know, 4 hours away.
So here's a person who has a lot of stage talent, a lot of capabilities. Mm-hmm. As a performer, you walk through that whole thing.
Yeah, Kansas City and New York City. I didn't put that in there. But, you know, and then when you're in New York City and you're auditioning, you end up going all over the country because you audition for things. Everybody goes there to audition, and then you go elsewhere, you know, whether it's a sit down or a tour or whatever.
Sure.
So, you know, you just go where the gigs are.
So you find yourself in Tallahassee, especially Monticello, Florida.
Yeah. Well, I chose Monticello.
I know you did.
Because of the theater. Because of that quaint John Perkins theater.
So that same drive that was driving you then back in Kansas City and on to New York and parts unknown is still active.
I think so. And I think, you know, you get to an age, especially as a woman, where you realize you're in your 40s and you're going, I'm not getting the jobs I used to get. And, you know, I was an actor, singer, dancer, or a singer, actor, dancer, a dancer, whatever, depending on what the show was
whichever
and what they
better.
Needed, whichever they would hire me as. And It gets especially hard when you're 40 and you're auditioning against 20-year-olds. It's just harder and harder. And I wasn't enjoying the auditioning as much. So I did take a little, like 6 years off maybe, where I actually had a real job. I got hired by the company I had been working with in New York as a temp. And that got me to Tallahassee because they needed a sales rep. So I moved down here to do that for like 6 years.
Wow.
And I'd worked with this company off and on for probably another at least 5 years before
what
I took
that job. What were
you
selling? I have to ask.
College textbooks. So I was a college textbook rep. So, and I did that plus softwares and, you
that's
know.
That's a lucrative
clickers.
Endeavor.
It really paid well. It was not my love. I did not really enjoy it. Yeah. I did end up being like sixth and seventh in the sales force twice.
I believe it. And then there
were other times when I just did abysmally. Because I didn't always believe in the product I was selling. Not, you know, and you would think books are great. Yeah. But, you know, there's that whole used book market, and I don't really want to get into this whole thing, but because it's just another sad story. And I probably didn't maybe do as much as I should have, but I, you know, it's
so,
one of those things.
So you put that you turned the page on that.
And that was one of many jobs. I've been a teacher.
Sure.
I've done a lot of
things. But it brought
you
to us.
It did. It brought me down here.
And we're grateful.
It did. And I moved to Monticello because I one day I was just driving from the different towns that I was, you know, selling textbooks in, and I drove through because I was bored. So I drove a different way. I ended up going through Monticello, and I went, well, what a cute little town! And I'm not a small town girl.
It says it right on the when you walk
it does,
in.
It goes.
Welcome to a cute little town in
exactly.
the South.
Yeah, it's really cute, and I didn't even know it existed. And I saw the theater, and I went, I cannot believe that there's this huge theater right here
in the middle,
right in the roundabout. And so we ended up moving there, like maybe 6 months later.
Isn't that
and
crazy?
So I've been here since 2000. I want to say. 2005 in Monticello.
That was about the time you and I first met.
Yeah, that's about right. So 2005, and then we, you know, bought a house and we lived there on purpose.
Well, let me just say this for the sake of your board members.
Okay.
The artist series of Tallahassee
is
dedicated to bringing the best of classical chamber music to Tallahassee audiences.
But I have to tell you this. I have a lovely board. I have a fantastic president. Carla Connors.
She's
works with me. And you know what? I've been on many nonprofit boards, and that is not always the case.
No.
Often nonprofit boards will tear at you, tear you apart, and it's the worst. I've been on several of those where I just went, I'm done, you know, after 9 years or 6 years or whatever. But this group has really tried to support me and tried to give me the things that I need. And Carla will pick up the slack when I get slammed, because especially July, August, September, those are the hardest times, because I'm trying to get the entire season together, get all, you know, all the marketing, all the fundraising going and stuff, and I can't do it 100% alone, and I am the only employee. So Carla will just say, okay, well, do you need me to do this? And she just does it.
She
so
it
she's
done.
A lovely person.
Well, you're like-minded that way. In fact, when you talk to any of her students,
I
mean, her musical talents are astounding.
Oh, my goodness. She sang with the Met. I mean, come on.
I mean, we should understand that.
Yeah.
But then I have two offspring, both of whom were students of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, we're speaking of her in very, very magnanimous manner. She remembers all of her students.
She does.
And she'll tag them on a Facebook post or something. Hey, that's the kind of commitment that I find remarkable with people like you who are helping us as a community better find our own identity. And it's a theme around here. We talk a lot about where we come from as an agrarian society, an agrarian economy. And that plantationism, I think, has held us back in many respects. It's being challenged, and I think of the artist series as one of those demonstrations of we are more than what we realize we are.
Right.
And I think you help us articulate that.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, and you know, and I cannot take the credit for the artist series for starting it. It was not my brainchild, but I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And
clearly,
there haven't been that many executive directors. I think I might be the fourth, or I'm the third or the fourth. And it's, I think I'm the fourth. But it's, you know, I've been with it since 2017. I enjoy the job. I enjoy meeting the artists. I mean, there is nothing more fun, because my degree is in music, and I think I'm also like one of the few executive directors they've had who actually was a music person, mm-hmm. a performer as well.
Yes.
And so I understand what they're going through, and I understand, you know, what they need when they come
yep.
in here.
You understand the backstage and the front stage
yeah,
and the sides.
Exactly.
You know that this is not happening magically.
Exactly.
It's hard work.
It is hard work, and they
yes.
are massively talented. I mean, you have to give props to their abilities because they are very talented.
Well, we are in possession of a great moment here to have Melanie Mays with us on this rare occasion because, you know, she's running at 120 miles an hour, picks herself up from that hapless collision. We get to drag her in here and learn more about what makes her what she is, who she is for this community and certainly for the artist series. One more mention there. Be sure that you get your season passport. Simple enough. You go to theartistseries.org and be a part of this exciting upcoming season.
And this year it's 6 concerts.
Isn't
we normally
awesome?
Only have 5, but we included our fundraiser in the passport. So you buy the passport, you get to go to the
fantastic.
Fundraiser, and then we hope you'll just, you know, like donate a little bit too. You know, that's the hope.
Always
right?
a good idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Melanie May is our friend and a friend of this community. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
God bless you. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. A pleasure to have you on board, my friend. Remember that we are available to you in so many ways. Happy to be a part of the lineup over there at 93.3 Real Talk in Tallahassee. Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, and all the good folks that make that such a great station. We're on Saturday mornings, 7 o'clock. That happens because so many of you who listen to 93.3 have said, we need to have Tallahassee Talks over here at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. So, you know, appreciate that. Thank you. And, okay, so we've been there for a while. And it's always been a pleasure to be a part of that lineup. In addition, we're on Moose Magnificat Radio. Now, you know Moose is the station in Tallahassee that plays all local musicians playing their original songs 24/7. We call it the Sound of Tallahassee. So you can listen on Moose at 9 o'clock Saturday mornings. Or you can listen Wednesdays at 5:30 on Moose. It's also aired on Sunday afternoon at 3. So you got 3 options on Moose. Then you can go to the website. If that doesn't work, go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com. Go to the archive, and there you go. You can listen to it right there on your phone or your PC or whatever, tablet. Many of you, a couple of thousand or better, I think. I haven't looked lately. There's a bunch of folks who have subscribed to the podcast. Again, that's easy to do. Take your podcast app, whatever you like, and do a search for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, and it should pop up there for you. Or you can go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com, and there's some links there to take you to Google Podcasting and jazz, so it's all good. In addition, if you have an idea, topic, or a guest you'd like us to consider, you can always email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Okay, that's all of that business. What else did I want to share with you? Let's see. Jake Gaither Golf Course has been named an historic place. City of Tallahassee proud to announce the addition of Jake Gaither Golf Course to the National Register of Historic Places, the official list of the nation's historic sites worthy of preservation. And this is authorized by the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. We were just little kids then, weren't we? The National Park Service's Register is part of a program that supports public and private efforts to identify, evaluate, and protect America's historic and archaeological resources. So here we have the Jake Gaither Golf Course has been a pillar of the community for decades. It was the first local course to give African Americans an opportunity to play the sport, and many have flourished because of it. This from Mayor John Daly. This national recognition reflects the dedication of staff, golfers, and volunteers. So congratulations to City of Tallahassee and to Jake Gaither Golf Course and all those that are involved in this wonderful opportunity. It's owned and operated by the City of Tallahassee. It was opened in 1956, just for you history bugs out there. Small renovations were completed over the years. And then in 2021, last year, the city began a more than $700,000 modernization, and that was completed earlier this year. So improvements include enhanced landscaping, fairways, cart paths, and the pro shop. Nice. So that's all good news for City of and for Jake Gaither Golf Course, and certainly worthy of ongoing recognition of the contributions of African Americans in our community and around the world, actually. Certainly important to acknowledge contributions from all of Tallahassee's residents, including Hispanic heritage. And so the county, Leon, is celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Leon County government celebrating the achievements and contributions of Hispanic Americans with an exhibit, a book club, story times, and resources from the Leroy Collins Leon County Public Library. Cool. Thematic book lists and movie watch lists will give you and I opportunity to learn about the inspiring Hispanic American men and women who helped shape our community. And this whole event, this exhibit, runs now, began on the 15th of September, all the way through until October 15. So you want to make sure you take this in within the next couple of weeks. So in addition to these in-person and digital resources, citizens are encouraged to attend the county's upcoming events celebrating Hispanic heritage. Cultura Tallahassee, which is a celebration of Hispanic heritage itself, that's in the main library, featuring the works of 20 local artists. Nice. And then again, a celebration of Hispanic heritage exhibit in the main library. That goes on, as I've just said, to the 15th of October. So that's all good. And then there's an event, Adult Fiction Nonfiction Book Club. Wow. That happens 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 4th. Via Zoom. All right, so on it goes. They have a preschool story time, a baby story time, there's a library lecture series, and then a family story time all the way through this next several weeks into October throughout the month. So here's the thing. Go to leoncountyfl.gov/Hispanic Heritage Month. You're going to get a full lineup of all of this wonderful opportunity. Again, leoncountyfl.gov/Hispanic Heritage Month. Well, as it happens, we're at that point in the year for us that we are launching our annual Christmas Connection campaign. If you recall, boys and girls, we have for now 20 years or better, 20, 21 years, the last two decades, certainly, we have made it our business to encourage all of us to give generally and generously throughout the holiday season. So not too early, honestly, to start thinking about what you and I can do to help the good people who make Christmas Connection what it is. And last year, we'll get into some of the details of this, but last year, his record contributions, isn't that remarkable? In a year that was otherwise, I don't know, unremarkable, just challenging is an understatement, but for so many people, you know, still in recovery, we'll say, reeling from the impacts of shutdowns and downturns in the local commerce. I mean, come on. And yet here comes Christmas Connection telling us, wow, people just really stepped up. Isn't that great? Well, that's Tallahassee. At least that's the Tallahassee that you and I know. And it happens because you have this organization devoted to caring for, assisting hundreds and hundreds of families in our community, which translates into thousands of people, children, teenagers, and adults. It's what they do. And this is our part. We call it Help Christmas Connection. We have a website under that title, helpchristmasconnection.com. We're all over social media. And we will be talking with some of those folks that make it work in the weeks ahead. So there you go. Christmas Connection, our campaign for 2022. Stay with me, folks. I've got Sue Semerow standing by.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Sue Semerow is in studio with us. And I have to stop right there. Am I saying that last name correctly? How do you say Semerow?
Okay, come on, Brian. You've got the weirdest last name ever.
I know.
Perfect. You're perfect. We've done this before.
I know. Okay, fine. Well, some people say Semerow. Some people say Semerow.
Semerow, it's German. It rhymes with sauerkraut.
Ah.
Hey.
Well, there you go. Semerow. I will remember that. See, this is why you're one of the winningest coaches around in your illustrious career. Started back in 95, is that what it was? 97, Florida State University, women's basketball. We won't take time now to put up all the numbers because, you know, if you want to know that stuff, go look online. You'll just look for greatness and you'll find Sue referenced there. Google already knows that. I think you're a great person, but I think of you in that way because of the manner in which you conduct business. It's been now 2 years since you retired from Florida State, just a year ago.
Not even a year. It was April 30th was my last day on the job.
Hmm. Did they have this warm send-off for you? Did they, like, bring a limo up to the curb and all that? How did that play out?
No, I was
they just
so
handed
anxious.
You your duffel bag and told you.
Well,
to
and I didn't want any of it because I so wanted to move out so that Brooke could move in and really have. We don't need goodbyes. We need hellos, and she needed to have a lot of those things. And
folks, I'm going to interrupt Sue here because this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we had Melanie Mays with us in the first hour, and I've told you if there's a theme to today's show, it's this notion of why it is that certain people are able to get things done even when the odds are running against them, and in strong fashion, where they are facing all kinds of obstacles, but you find in them this that you just described, where your eyes were set on the next person. You were looking at how Brooke was going to be able to step into that role with the best transition possible.
Well, I think it was important. I mean, Brooke is like a daughter to me in a lot of ways. I was thrilled when they hired her to be the next head coach at Florida State. She was a freshman my first year at Florida State.
Wow.
So, you know, kind of a shameless aunt brag here. My nephew just graduated from Florida State Law School and passed the bar on the first try. It was amazing. Yay. So
remind me his first name?
Craig.
So congratulations, Craig.
That's right. Yes. Oh, man. Yes. So he's an attorney now, but we went out to celebrate and Brooke was with us and I remember a picture of her holding up a 3-year-old Craig when she was playing for me. And, you know, it's just so to put her in the best situation professionally was really important. And, she's done a fantastic job so far.
There are a lot of people in life, in business, in athletics, professional and collegiate, in public service, who achieve great things, we'll say, you know, by someone's estimation. But then there are the people who achieve great things on behalf of other people. Mm. I love the notion that leadership is really about empowering other people to achieve their goals. You know, people who are powerful, well, they're generally speak people who are seeking to maintain that control for themselves. They're seeking power. But you come to this task in life with that notion that the people around you ought to be doing at least as well, if not better, than you're doing. We see that repeated oftentimes in these various arenas, but in athletics, especially college sports, it's different. It's different because you come into it with everybody in your living room, it seems to me. If you're a coach for Florida State University women's basketball, they're in your living room. They're in your backyard all the time. Because, especially because of social media, you can, I mean, if you care to, you can find out exactly what they think of what you have just done.
Yes,
whether you like it or not.
That's right.
And yet, in the face of that, it seems to me, people like you don't even let that stuff get in your way. How do you account for that? How is it that you have this about you?
I think early on in my career, I read somewhere where you can't ever believe the bad things that people are saying, and you can't believe the good things that people are saying. So don't look at what people are saying. You know, you just have a certain vision of where you're going. And part of that is the people that are involved with that. Sometimes you've got to help them to achieve something you know they want to achieve, but they don't want to do the work. Mm. And so I think that constantly grounds you because we all want to be comfortable. Sure. And, you know, athletes are the same. They think and talk about greatness, but I don't want to go to the dentist. But I got to go if my teeth are going to be healthy. Mm. So my mom pushed me to the dentist, you know? You got to develop those disciplines along the way. And that's, I think, a lot of what coaching is helping people do the things they don't want to do to achieve the things that they want to achieve.
Interesting you say. For many years in my work as a mental health counselor, I would talk with folks coming to see me for help and family counseling and marriage counseling, and we'd talk about who you are, why you're here, purpose in life, and character. You know, what are you worth? How do you know the value of that piece of currency in your hand? Well, it's marked. And it's a relative value, isn't it? Because $5 may not buy what it bought a year ago.
That's right.
Speaking of. But in the fact that the intention is still there, it's supposed to be able to serve as a mechanism toward the achievement of some goal. Right. Well, when you look at human self-worth and self-esteem and those issues, where do you think we best get that? If it's not going to be from our critics, plus or minus, is it our parents? Is it our close colleagues? Is it our coaches and teachers? I mean, How do we know what we're really worth?
Yeah, I think it's such a valuable time because, and you and I have talked a little bit about the first half of life and the second half of life. Yep. I like to call it the first mountain and the second mountain, where you're climbing that first mountain. And all of the things that you're learning, the disciplines, the traditions, the types of boundaries that are set for you, I think that helps you to form that idea of, you know, this is my identity. The important thing is that you have parents, you have coaches, you have teachers who will make sure that you understand that your identity isn't in the things you do. Your identity is in the person that you are.
Wow.
But they're both so important. You know, you've got the conditional love, which is that discipline and all of those things. And then you've got the unconditional love that says, but I love you for who you are.
Win or lose. Folks, Sue Semeraz with us. You stay with me. We've got more with this beautiful person. We'll be right back.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
We're talking with Sue Semeraz. My summation here would be the winningest Florida State women's basketball coach ever. Is that right?
I was here a long time.
You were like,
I started when I was 12. Come on, man.
And, you know, basketball, women's basketball particularly, in these days, has reached some notable heights, and professional basketball for women is now, I think, better recognized, like it should be, we would say. You follow the pros pretty closely?
I follow the way that they play, but I mainly follow the people that I love. And I think that's the way it is. I've got a couple players that are a part of the New York Liberty right now, and Natasha Howard and Ronika Hodges, who is an assistant coach there now, which is a lot of fun. So, you know,
so there's a personal connection for you there.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, my family is still a Seattle Storm fans because, you know, they live there. But, you know, when Natasha got traded to New York, I very quickly became a Liberty fan.
So they're looking at you like, man, you're such a traitor.
I know, right?
Carl, well, what do you think about that? I mean, Carl's a big Seattle fan. You know, he loves all of those guys.
And I love that too, but my Seahawks flag's flying, I tell you.
Okay, well there's a redemptive comment.
Yeah, that's right.
He's back in Carl's graces now. How do you feel about the Mariners? Come on.
I feel like free. What's it called? What is the thing that they wild card?
Wild
I feel
card.
Wild card yeah. is imminent.
Thing. But you got to go to Chicago for the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's one of the really nice things about being retired is now I can make time to do things that I really wouldn't have had time to do, or I would have made time and been just frantic trying to get in and out. And I was able to go up to Chicago. They played in the Liberty played Chicago in the, I believe it was the second round, maybe first round. And they, you know, just to be able to stay for two games.
Yeah.
It was, to be able to be with those, you know, young ladies, to be able to go up and visit Nikki Ikamu, who was a former player of mine, her parents in Chicago, just because, not because I wanted something from them, not because I was recruiting her, but because we've formed such a great relationship over the years has been just, it was a blast. And, you know, just being so proud of the young women that are doing what they're doing all over the country.
The only other time I hear this spoken of is in business, where people work together for years with a certain organization. They go different directions or whatever, but they remain friends and at the very least colleagues and acquaintances. It happens, I think, when you talk about it now, because you have that liberty, you have that freedom, you have that opportunity. How is that different for you then? Is it life changing, would you say? Or is this the second mountain that we're now?
Yes, this is the climb of the second mountain right now. Because, and it's taken me a long time to see things a different way, to disassociate from the things that I used to have to do on a daily basis, the things that kept you running. You know, it keeps you thinking in the future. And so, for example, last weekend, I just drove up to Lake Blackshear with a friend and was able to just get a boat and go out and enjoy it. Well, as I'm driving back, I see a sign for Ashburn, Georgia. And one of my former players was from Ashburn. And in 2008, we all went through a tragic death of her, and Rinalda Pierce is her name. And I just love the way that her family handled that situation. She died of something called Marfan syndrome. And we've been in touch. They've been faithful to our program ever since. It was their last touch of Rinalda. And Jim Crosby here in town had dropped off a book that he wrote about her time at Florida State just the week prior. And he's been working on that book for years. And I had started reading it. It was in my car. So I picked up the phone and asked Linda Pierce. I said, you guys just hanging around the house today? And you bet we are. And you come on over. And so was able to go to her house that I recruited her in and spend time with the family. Her two aunts came over, her sister and her kids, and give Linda the book that Jim Crosby had written. Now, I have driven up South Georgia hundreds of times recruiting and seen that sign, knowing I did not have time to spend quality time with people that I love. And to be able to do that and just sit with them. They were getting ready to watch the WNBA game. They were so excited about it. They still have a wall in the living room with Rinalda's jersey and all of her Florida State stuff. It is just blessed. It blessed me. And now I get to go and buy shoes, Florida State shoes, for Rinalda's sister's little boy instead of her brother. So it's just, it's too cool what I get to do now.
In that respect, when you talk with people, and I know you do often, who yearn for that kind of opportunity, they yearn for that kind of spontaneity and freedom, what do you tell them?
Hurry up to retirement.
Find a way.
You know, I haven't been able to put my finger on that yet, because I think I tried for 35 years to understand work-life balance. I tried so hard. You know, just even talking to Melanie as she was leaving your studio, and knowing that there's so much to do. And I've learned that I want to live as a human being and not a human doing. And wow, is that hard? If you're driven and the society tells you, you know, you got to get to the top of the tower, you got to build your tower, you got to get to the top of that mountain.
Yes.
And I think, You know, I hate to say that this generation and COVID might be getting it right, because they just, I think they're calling it the silent retirement, but it's not, but it's young people who are choosing work-life balance over money and power. And wow, what a great choice
to make.
I
see it evidenced in our family. You know, my wife and I have four adult offspring, all of them pursuing career options that are more about what they really want in life for themselves and for their partners, spouses. They find themselves, and I just talked with one of them yesterday. He's got a great job in the Atlanta area, but he's looking at other companies that would be more in line with his personal goals. Maybe that's because when you and I were kids, we were given that sort of moonshot approach. You've got to go from here to there, and failure is not an option. We're talking to Sue Semerow. You stay with me, folks.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
We're back talking with Sue Semerow. This notion of being goal-driven, goal-oriented, there's no room for any compromise or failure. Go, go, go. But that produces, in some respects, you could say that that strategy produces the wins, that produces the outcome. I mean, it's designed to do that.
Right.
And is that a bad thing, or is that a good thing, or is it not a good, bad, that's just not the way to look at it, or?
I think a lot of those things are necessary. You know, I think you can get sucked into that, and I know I did, and I'm very grateful to have some time, you know, to now slow down.
Well, let me underscore something you said there, because it's what we mentioned, I guess, in the first portion of our conversation, that people in leadership positions do have a choice. They can seek their own objectives and use the people around them to get there. And we certainly can see plenty of examples of coaches that have done that and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are people like Sue who come and say, yeah, I want to achieve this, but I want us to achieve it. And so I've got to make sure that I'm, even in my frantic, driven mentality, I'm connecting with people. I have a secure attachment with the people, which is why, if I may say, now you still have those same attachments all over the country.
Well, and I'll jump in, though, and say I'm not proud of the fact that my staff would call me tsunami. I mean, I'd be coming in and, you know, let's, you know, do this. If I could go back after all I've learned now, I may be different. I may not, but I may be. And I do think that sports and isn't sports anymore. Isn't just sports anymore. Okay. It is now coming into the college and high school realm as a professional. It's a money-making endeavor. Yes, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's different.
Yeah.
And so.
And what do you want?
It needs to be reimagined in such a way that there's a lot of good in it. And we've had to reimagine a lot of things during the course of my career, and that was hard to push through, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, how do we, and really a lot of it at the time was trying to make women's basketball relevant. You know, those, you got to reimagine things, and, you know, you have to see that invisible thing up there and try to develop it in order to see it be done. And I did my part. And now it's for a younger mind to reimagine this next piece because it's complicated.
You think Brooke is that person who
Heck yes.
will look in your direction for that? Does she come back to you and say, hey, how would you deal with this? Or
no? Not yet. Because, and I don't want her to be yet because she has got to establish
who she is.
Yeah. And she's got to establish her program. It, you know, I think that there's so many people that try to be Bobby Knight
or Bobby Bowden.
Exactly. And you've got to take different pieces that fit your personality.
So in that regard, I did notice, and I've noticed that Coach Norvell, if there is a player down, he will be there. And that was striking to me.
I saw that too.
He's down on his knees. He's checking with that player.
That's right.
He's not a medical professional. He's the guy's coach, and he's letting him know, I'm here.
That's right. I care.
And why is that so important?
I mean, think about it.
Why does he do that?
I just think about being that player. I mean, I'm not just here to perform. I'm here as a part of a family. And if a family member goes down,
it's interesting. That's what Tate said in his post game.
Is that right?
He said, we're more of a family now.
Yeah. And
take note of that.
That's who Florida State is. Family. And I believe that's what college athletics is. And that's why this is hard to watch the monetary opportunities come in to taint that. Now, I'm not opposed to the monetary opportunities, especially when you see the outrageous salaries that football coaches are making. You know, so you're one of those athletes and you're just like, wow, I got to eat peanut butter and jelly. And I mean, it all needs
to be. Or if I accept a gift from anybody.
Yeah.
I'm subject to NCAA scrutiny.
And absolutely.
Possible expulsion. I mean,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
And the team being penalized.
And the school is making all this money to pay the coach based on the performance of these young people. Now, I don't think they should be employees. I don't. There's a lot of trouble with that because now they're going to be looking at, you know, all the different things that you have to go through. Are they going to unionize? What do you do? So there's a lot of that. But it's cool to watch things balance out a little bit.
Would you say that is representative of a broader cultural shift? I mean, when think about collegiate athletics and even professional, it's been America's pastime. It's recreation. This is not my job. I get to go watch this game. I get to hang out with. And now we've turned that again into something else that's not about the core of what that really amounts to. It's not about watching people achieve athletically. Mm. It's about what it does for some other third party, right. Whether it's a sports network or a school. I mean,
yeah, that's what media has done, and the money that is in the media. And, you know, I mean, watching Russell Wilson in a Denver Broncos uniform, I was so ready to boo with the crowd. And I love Russell Wilson, but I was right there with him. I was like, let's make it hard. And when we won, I was like, take that. But it was about the money that he left. It was about, it was not just money for him, but it was what he wanted. And again, he's a professional, but it's not about the team.
Not for the rest of us who sit over there on the sidelines going, but Russ.
Yeah.
We love you, man. Well, and we love you, Sue Semeraux, who very graciously made this happen for us this week because, you know, even though she's retired, she's still busy and she's spontaneous. You're like Waldo. We don't know where you may be. So we go out trying to hunt you down. Parts unknown, but one thing we can count on, you'll be staying connected.
Absolutely.
To the people who you love and the people who love you. And we're blessed to be among those.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And I love this place and I love you guys. And I appreciate all that you guys do for our community.
Yeah, well, that is our challenge and our pleasure. Folks, this is what we do here for you every week with people like Sue Semmer on Melanie Mays. It happens because we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment. Coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee, where you can hear all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. It's moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer and wizard. He is what keeps us between the lines, folks. And we'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.